The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
Produced with podcasting gear from Tascam. Trust your audio to Tascam. Sound thinking.
This show brought to you by Jersey Ninja. New items added weekly, superior quality products, excellent selection, competitive pricing, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That's Jersey Ninja at jerseyninja.com. Your source for great quality hockey jerseys and performance wear products.
Welcome to another episode of Wookiee Radio. I had to make sure I didn't say issue. So
yeah, because we don't have near as many issues as your other shows.
Other show. Only one other show has issues.
I've met the co-host. Yes, you have many.
Yes. So, but the other show I do with that other co-host, who's on this show, I have no issues with at all.
That's you, Ken.
Wait, that's you, Derek.
Yeah, I only do one show now.
I have forgotten what that's
I am available for guest spots, though.
Actually, that's not true. You don't do just one show now.
Well, yeah, I did when we do the other one.
Well, the only one we're waiting on is you.
Hey, I told you, you didn't have to wait for me.
Yeah, it's just not the same without you, though.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Whatever it is I bring, no one else can bring that.
Well, exactly. It is true.
I don't know what it is, but that is exactly.
It's definitely something.
As soon as we know, you'll know.
Well, listeners, the fellow smugglers out there, maybe they should let us know what it is that I bring to this show. I'm opening a can of worms now.
Oh, yes, you are.
Like, how can everybody get a hold of us to let us know what I bring to the show?
Hey, what do you know?
You can contact us at WookieRadio@gmail.com. Or on social media at Wookiee Radio.
Wow, it's almost like I've done podcasts long enough to know how to do a segue.
Yeah. I'm still not light enough to ride a segue yet.
Oh, I didn't know there was a weight limit on them. Wait, Paul Blart was driving one of those things.
That wasn't a segue. Was that a segue?
I don't know.
Well, at Disney, they have weight limits.
Oh.
Also in the movies, I've seen people drive forklifts without licenses. So, you know.
Companies require licenses. There's no state body anywhere that requires a tow motor license.
No, I know.
I know this because I have a tow motor.
OSHA would not be happy with that.
There's no OSHA regulation requiring it.
No, there is no forklift license.
No.
You go to a construction company or go someplace and they go, cool, here's your government-issued forklift license. Yeah.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, OSHA and them require that you've been trained on it. And there's documentation that you took training on it.
Yep.
But there's no actual license.
No.
And that's something Disney does.
Yeah.
It's the certification.
There's a lot of things that people don't realize.
So
the things that we learned in our real-life jobs.
Yeah.
Consulting jobs.
About those real life jobs. check out the homepage, wookieradio.net. No, I have not gotten it caught up yet.
How long have you been sitting at home now?
A couple weeks. Yeah, let's don't get started. It's coming. All right.
Okay. Hey, it's not been as long as we've been waiting for other things, Derek.
What?
Oh, what? Finally, the lightsaber.
Hey, maybe if he was designing a sonic screwdriver, he'd have it done already.
Oh.
I can't even be mad at that.
I'm a little upset that you guys decided to do your Doctor Who podcast when I couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
See, I'm not caught up on any of them.
And I'm actually midway through a rewatch of the current Doctor Who. I'm about halfway through Matt Smith. I'm about 5 episodes into Matt Smith right now.
I am debating whether it's a need to watch. Because I want to see the new Doctor because I like the actor. So I guess I'm going to pose that question. Do I need to watch these specials to prepare for the new Doctor?
There's only 3 specials. It's 3 hours.
There's 4 specials.
Yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah, because they...
No, I thought the fourth was the actual new Doctor.
Yeah, is the fourth one is I think is the Christmas special. So that's the one with the new Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all 4 of them together make one continuous story. Kinda. Well, the fourth one's kind of a standalone.
I haven't actually watched it yet because I'm saving it for when we do our Doctor Who episode this weekend.
Because there's stuff I want to talk about, but you can't see, but you're not doing a show when I can do it.
Well, I mean, you know.
I got a good thing. I'm actually wrestling for a championship, so.
There you go.
I'm wrestling for the super heavyweight championship for RCW.
How many Marion guards are you facing?
One big ugly clown. He's about 400 pounds. So,
ooh, sorry.
Oh, the whole secret is don't be under him.
Oh, that's a good secret.
Mm-hmm. And he's for once I'm the smaller guy in the ring.
Okay. Well, check out our affiliates on our homepage at WookieRadio.net. And support them, such as Bitty Boomers, use code WeebieGeeks for 15% off your Bluetooth speakers. At Rebel Sabers, use code Wookie for 10% off your lightsaber needs. There are new things coming to Red Flag Workshop, patches and key rings. Use code Smuggler3 for 25% off your purchase there. Also, too, use code Wookie Radio for 10% off your purchase at Hanger-58.com, great performance t-shirts, and our sponsor, Jersey Ninja, who they will be changing their name sometime this year to Syndicate, but right now it's Jersey Ninja. Use code WeebieGeeks for 10% off your hockey jersey, basketball jersey, and performance wear needs there. So, where to begin?
There's been no news since the middle of December, so I don't know where to start.
I say, let's start with, oh, wow, looking at the camera, I really did cut that way too short.
What?
We are sponsored over on Mighty Marvel Geeks by Manscaped. They sent us some product, and I've got the beard trimmer, and which is called the hedge trimmer.
Yes.
And the lawnmower, which is the everything else but beard trimmer. And I went to trim down the beard and I wanted my mustache a little thinner than the goatee and I went too far. I just didn't realize how far I went until just now. Because in the mirror, it didn't look like I did. I knew I messed up, but I didn't realize I messed up. It was that bad. But big news in the last couple of days, actually.
As a recording, it was last night. I didn't even know about it until I sat down to record and look through the news today.
So the Mandalorian and Grogu are coming to the big screen.
So, for now, it looks like this is the next movie that we're going to get.
You just found out about that, Ken?
Yeah, I didn't see it until today when I sat down. I didn't have time to even look at social media or anything today.
This hit everything like yesterday.
Yeah. Well, yesterday I was buying a car, so... We were at a dealership for like 3 hours, and then I got home and I was tired.
Always an excuse with you.
According to Favreau, I love telling stories set in the rich world that George Lucas created. The prospect of bringing the Mandalorian and his apprentice Grogu to the big screen is extremely exciting. Kathleen Kennedy added, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni have ushered into Star Wars two new beloved characters. And this new story is a perfect fit for the big screen.
Cool.
So what do you guys think of this?
It's okay.
Okay. In all seriousness.
No.
I think if anybody was going to do something like this, Favreau's the right guy. Because he's got
plenty of
big screen experience. He's well-known. He knows how to work in a world that is shared with other people. And also how to, look where he's done in the Marvel universe. To where he could, if I need to add little things in here, if that's fine. I can do this all by myself. You know what I mean? Look what he's done with Disney on the couple movies he's done with them. As a director, not just in TV, but in actual film, he's done some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
I'm all cool with that and all. I just don't know if I want to see it as a movie rather than as another season.
On one of our other stories, I guess Deadline is actually covering that season four is still in development, though. We are still supposed to be getting a season four of Mandalorian.
Mm.
So hopefully this is a 2-hour standalone story, and then we get more. Because I don't think later on here they actually mentioned that Lucasfilm's ongoing development, they still have listed Dave Filoni as a separate thing on this. So right. I think we're still getting the Mando Universe crossover movie that is not this.
So with this, do you think we're going to get this as what we saw with in Book of Boba Fett with those 2.5 episodes, that they're going to do this instead to just bridge a gap between whatever and wherever they may show up in future Disney series before season four?
Possibly. I think we'll get season four before this, because it says here they're going into production sometime in 2024. So it's at least 2 years before we're going to see this. It'll be at least 26 or 27 before we actually see this.
Definitely.
So season four, they'll put out before that. Because they can film season four and have it out within a year of starting for production. A feature film is going to take a lot longer to finish.
Yeah.
And then we have another story. So Filoni will be a little bit busy also, not just developing his movie. But I don't know when Shireen Obaid-Shenoy is supposed to be starting her Rey movie either. I mean, the way it sounds, they're already in pre-production for that. So we may end up actually getting that before this.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I saw that was supposed to start filming
soon, the spring sometime.
Soon.
Yeah. So that's three movies that I know are pretty much going to be ready soon to get up and running. Mangold, I've not heard anything other than them announcing that it's happening. I've not heard anything else about that movie. We know when it's supposed to happen approximately, but other than that, I've not heard anything about pre-production or anything else. Dave Filoni, is always writing. So he's got all the creative stuff going on. Plus, he's working on the script for his movie with all this other stuff.
Right.
Obaid-Shenoy, like I said, with everything we've seen, I would not be surprised in the next month or two they don't start filming. It sounds like the script is just about ready. Obviously, they've talked to some of the cast, if not got everybody cast already. That one, I think, is going to get into production a lot faster than people think it is. And this one, the pre-production stuff shouldn't be that difficult because we already have the Mandalorian there.
Right.
So I don't know. It may be a race to see who gets their movie done first. Because Lucasfilm now, with Disney backing them, is big enough to run two productions at once if they need to, or if they want to.
Right.
And they could actually film Mandalorian while they're filming this. Or they just do it back to back, either way. I don't know
if they just careful about when they release everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to see two films in 1 year.
Yeah.
That doesn't work well.
No.
Unless you are absolutely sure that this is going to be a blockbuster, that everybody in the world is going to love it. And then you put another one 6 months after that, maybe.
But not, there's no way that.
Last Jedi and Solo.
Yeah. Don't do that again.
But like we said before, I hope they've actually learned the lesson on that, putting them too close together when you're not sure about the reaction.
I really hope.
Because everybody at Lucasfilm seems like they thought Last Jedi was going to be the greatest thing that Lucasfilm has ever put out. The fans didn't quite think that.
Right.
So But yeah, I as long as they don't put these two close together with the movies, I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I do think season four is going to come before we get the movie. That's just predictions from us, because all we know is that they're working on season four also.
Right.
And you don't want to wait too long before you put out the next season.
Do we definitely know for sure they're doing season four now? Well,
that's what Deadline says, that it's in production. So I don't know. Deadline usually, they run some rumors a little bit, but not, they're usually pretty, yeah, spot on when they get it.
Well, let me ask this question. Are we done talking about the movie? Because if so, I'll take us right into the season four story.
Oh, I just figured it all works together.
I don't know. Is there anything else to say? We don't have any details on it.
Yeah, we have nothing at all with it, other than it's got Grogu and Mando. And it talks about the two of them together. So other than that, we have no information at all about this.
So I don't have a story from Deadline. I have it from comicbook.com.
Yeah. Well, on comicbook.com, they reference that they're getting their information from Deadline. That's when I kicked over to Deadline and read theirs.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was going to see where they get theirs from.
So,
hang on, I can put up the Deadline article here in just a second if you guys want to
Deadline
that one.
So we're going to cover this from Deadline, courtesy of comicbook.com, courtesy of Wookiee Radio.
Welcome to the way the modern news story works.
And welcome to the way of podcasting, right? So with Favreau doing the movie, which will head into production later this year, the big screen adventure will not be taking the place of season four, and that a new batch of episodes is still in development. With the movie set to go into production later this year, it will seem unlikely that we would get a season four of the series anytime soon. And this is where we have disagreed, that we could potentially get season four next year in the movie in late 2025 or in 2026.
Now, they could use season four to lead into the movie.
Yes.
The next line of their article here is an interesting idea.
So the thought is, it's possible that the Mandalorian could pivot away from Din Djarin and instead focus on Bo-Katan, which would explain the twist in the spinoff with the movie.
Yeah. Instead of the Mandalorian being about just Din Djarin and Grogu, they actually turn it into a show about the Mandalorians in general.
And at this point in time, we're dealing with the rebuild of Mandalore, is where we were where we left off season three to some extent, and with Mando and Grogu going back to Navarro, I remember correctly. So far, what are y'all's thoughts on what has been discussed?
It's an interesting idea. I don't know if I want the show to the Mandalorian show to be to switch off like that. Yeah, I don't know. If they're going to do Bo-Katan, I would like them to do just a spinoff series or something.
Yeah, I would too.
So, well, even they say here on this article that it's entirely possible that Lucasfilm may reevaluate and switch it up and not do a season four. We don't know.
So,
because Lucasfilm even hasn't officially said anything.
Right. Let's pose that question then. If we're getting the movie, do we want season four?
I'd like to see a season four again, but
yeah,
I don't know if it'd be more. Or go ahead, Derek.
I was gonna say, if they're gonna do their Bo-Katan thing, they should do that as the movie and keep Mando and Grogu in season four. Okay. That would be my preference.
What we saw was season three, if I remember right, wasn't season three, didn't they start to slow down a little bit, though? We were saying how they were drawing it out a little bit, almost too much.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So maybe the story of Grogu and Din Djarin, you make it a bounty hunter's movie, and you just have him go on a mission with Grogu that advances the story some, but it's a standalone story. Whereas all the stuff with Bo-Katan... Yes. Would work a lot better. I think would work a lot better as a series where you can draw it out and show. You can show how far or what they're doing to start rebuilding the Mandalorian race and culture, and how they're rebuilding Mandalore. That would take a lot more time than just a movie. You'd have to skip a lot of stuff in a movie. because you're stuck in at least a 2.5 hour time frame, if not less. And you're trying to get as close to 2 hours as you can.
Right.
So you got to condense a lot of storytelling into that time usually.
Or you could stretch it out to just under 2.5 hours.
Yeah. As I said, usually your sweet spot is between 2, 2.5. But the closer you get to 2, usually the happier people are.
Right.
So, like I said, I think Bo-Katan should be possibly, even if you just let the Mandalorian rest at this point. And we know it started everything, and we're going to see more because you get Mandalorian and Grogu. And you bring Bo-Katan as, and even if you put it in the same spot and call it the Mandalorians or something like that, or call it, actually, take a page from Game of Thrones, just call it House Kreese.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thought.
Because then if you do that, you can actually do, because they've done some of the flashbacks and stuff we've seen, you could do some flashbacks of Satine. So that the general people that have not seen, that the people that have picked up since the Mandalorian started, to know some of the backstory of where Bo-Katan really came from, who was her sister, and all this stuff. What was the Mandalorian race like before the Night of a Thousand Tears or whatever they called it?
Yeah.
What was Mandalore like? Because a lot of people don't realize the Mandalorians at one point, that were for a while, they were a pacifist culture, or the planet was. Not everybody was, obviously, but then you can actually learn about Death Watch and some of these other things a little bit. You could touch on them in a series a little bit here and there without having to go fully into it and saying, well, go watch these 75 episodes of Clone Wars and Rebels. A couple of quick flashbacks could bring a lot of that story together.
Yeah, I can see that.
And also, that I think that would add some weight to Moff Gideon and his stuff and what happened with that. Because now you teach people that get them to love this world some. And then actually, I got another one we could do. Instead of doing Bo-Katan now, do a series before the Purge on Mandalore.
Oh,
yeah. It can or cannot run concurrent with what we saw in Clone Wars and Rebels.
Well, again,
dude, that's where you bring the ball back in.
That's where you tie in the House of Kreese.
Mm-hmm.
Or instead of House Kreese,
that maybe they're fighting against Maul and the Death Watch.
But instead of House,
mm-hmm,
Clan of Kreese.
Yeah. I'm just going to say that.
But then, yeah, you do it as them trying to take Mandalore back from Maul and the Death Watch. Because, yeah, Maul was in charge of Death Watch, wasn't he? And all the Mandalorians?
Eventually, yes.
Yeah. So you pick up where Darth Maul actually is in control of Mandalore.
So you're saying hit on the
Clone Wars timeline.
Season 7 Clone Wars.
Somewhere in there, yeah. I mean, it doesn't even have to be right then, because they've already covered that story from one direction. So you either move it a little bit forward or move it a little bit back.
Right.
How did the Mandalorians go from a pacifist culture back to their warrior culture?
Well, we kind of get that explanation in Clone Wars with Death Watch.
Yeah.
So it's not an in-depth explanation, really.
Right, but I don't think it's something that we need to delve into.
No, but it's a place to start on, to start telling some stories.
Right.
And you can set the seeds for what you see later on in Mandalorian and stuff. Maybe we see the time frame up to the Purge.
Yeah, or
see why did the Empire turn Mandalore into a sheet of glass?
Yeah, I was gonna say, why not? Just since we've had the Purge been talked about, and we know that's what happened with Bo-Katan. And that's what led to her little escapade of, you know, losing the Darksaber, you know, and all that jazz. Why not just go ahead and do the Purge?
Possibly. Well, we've already seen that on Mandalorian. Remember, we saw it in a flashback, partially.
Yeah, partial. But let's just go ahead and do the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, see, I think that would be actually just a movie, because the Purge itself, it seems like it was not a long campaign.
I mean, no,
a bunch of Star Destroyers over the planet, it doesn't take long to do this.
True.
I think that would just be something that would be part of a movie or something else.
That could be the end of your season or the start, and then you go from there. What happened after that?
Why couldn't that be the start of the season? as sort of like the flashback and see why Bo went the way she did. And then we start seeing the story of Bo up to when we see her in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. Like, start at the Purge and go from there. What's the story after that?
Okay, so
I remember off the top of my head, did we get other than Din Djarin seeing a mythosaur in the water? Did he? I don't remember. Did he tell anybody he saw that?
He did not see it. He did not see it.
Who did?
Bo did.
Bo did.
Okay.
Because
and she told, so maybe that
and she told the armorer. That's when the armorer and it's just Mando brought the water back.
Yeah.
Which is what the armorer wanted. Bo mentioned she saw the mythosaur. And that's when, after that, and Bo on her own keeping the helmet on, she thought, okay, well, now I'm with the right people. It wasn't until, you know, afterwards when I think the armorer accepted, she really did see the mythosaur.
Mm-hmm.
That, Bo and her clan and her group are Mandos that are allowed to take the helmets off. Between helmets on and helmets off, because they're pure blood. Whereas the armorer's clan, except for the armorer and Pre Vizsla, who's no longer there, it seems like everyone else was more foundling.
Mm-hmm.
So the foundlings are more the cultish in keeping the helmets on.
Well, you got to think the foundlings are going off of what they've read and what they've seen and what they've been taught. Not, they never lived it.
Right.
So that's like a lot of times they may be closer to the doctrine of the way the Mandalorians are supposed to be, and they don't know what Mandalorians were truly like.
Yeah, I can see that.
It goes back to the whole argument, or not argument, but discussion we've had for a long time, that how there's two different types. There's obviously two different types of Mandalorians. There's people that were born and raised, and their genetic lineage goes back to Mandalore. Then there's the Mandalorians that have adopted and believe in the Mandalorian culture and way.
Right.
So, but there's a lot of stuff to do. And that, like I said, that may be the whole idea with the mythosaur thing, maybe what they're thinking about, if they cover that, if they move to do the Bo-Katan story from here forward, maybe that is put back into there. So we get more of what is the mythosaur and all this stuff.
There's still a lot of questions that have not been answered yet.
Mm-hmm. That's why we know we got at least two movies, and then there's at least a couple different TV series is coming.
Right, but I don't think the crossover movie is going to be all Mandalorian. I think it's going to be true crossover, and it's going to be everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a Star Wars movie, not just a Mandalorian movie.
Right.
It'll bring everything from that time frame together, everything that we've seen from that time frame. So we're going to probably get Luke. We'll get Luke in that movie. We'll get obviously Ahsoka will be in that movie. Sabine and Ezra, all of those guys will be in that movie. The New Republic will be part of it. The Imperial Remnant will be part of it.
Yeah.
Then the question is, how is it all going to fit together?
Mm-hmm. You'll end up seeing Boba Fett in there somewhere.
Hopefully we see Skeleton Crew involved.
Yeah. Yeah, we've not even talked about that. Because we've not seen really anything for Skeleton Crew. How does that change the picture of what's coming or what could be coming?
Well, we won't know that until we see what's going on with Skeleton Crew exactly.
Which I'm still excited for Skeleton Crew.
Yeah. Well, that's like Vicky and I watched the first two episodes of Echo tonight.
Oh.
And the first episode of that totally changes the Disney Marvel universe to a point.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the whole series today.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about for the first episode. I don't know if Derek's seen it yet.
I haven't seen any of it yet.
Yeah. But so, Mike, you know what I'm talking about.
I will.
You get these things brought into the now they're part of the actual greater Marvel universe that were not here before.
I have listened to a few shows where people have talked about, we're only watching Echo or Kingpin because this is more a Kingpin story than it is Echo. No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not. And if you're going to think that way, you are so wrong. And this does so much justice.
Like I said, I've only seen the first two episodes so far.
So,
it's
going
amazing.
Back to Star Wars, because this is not Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Yeah.
Another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I had a thought just a minute ago.
You did?
That explains the smoke we saw.
Where's the calendar?
I had to brush it. I had to wave it away from the smoke detector. What was it? Oh yeah, derailed me.
Who us?
Thinking about a crossover movie with everybody in it, it makes me think about what would happen if and when Boba Fett and Luke met up together at some point.
Ooh.
That'd be interesting, because really, if you think about it, Boba Fett and Luke actually coming in contact with each other has really only happened once for about 30 seconds.
Twice.
All right.
When on Empire, they never actually came in contact.
They never. There was interaction between the two.
Yes, but they were. It was like way down the hallway. It wasn't. No. And in Jedi, there actually was interaction, and Luke made real short work of Boba Fett.
And Luke's the one who put Boba Fett in the Sarlacc pit, basically.
Yeah.
Well, he set it up.
Well, yeah, but
the question could be though, would Boba still have animosity after going through everything?
Well, that's the other thing I was going to point out is Luke doesn't know that Boba Fett is trying to change his ways either. So his first reaction might be, you know, Boba Fett, all the stuff he did, you know, he's trouble, and Luke might think he's going to have to take him out or something.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he's basically, I think it's weird because if you watch the Boba Fett series, it comes back to the whole thing. I've always said that Boba Fett was never really the bad guy.
Right.
He's one of the great, Star Wars has a whole plethora of great characters.
Yes.
They're not good guys. They're not bad guys. They're just there to make a buck.
Right.
Yeah, he was just doing his job.
Worked for whoever the highest bidder was. He was working for Vader. He was working for Jabba because they pay well.
He was there to disintegrate.
Pretty much. And
remember, as we saw in the holiday special, Boba Fett was Darth Vader's right-hand man.
Well, and I think that was the original pitch because originally Boba Fett was supposed to be in white armor and was supposed to be considered a super stormtrooper commando.
Yeah.
Yes.
A stormtrooper super commando. Excuse me. And then they changed it up and gave him color and made him more of a bounty hunter.
Which I'm kind of glad they did. But
we kind of get that reference back, though, in Mandalorian Season 3 with Gideon with his super commandos.
Mm.
And their armor loosely being based on the Fett Boba prototype armor.
All right.
So...
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways they can go with this.
Yeah.
Like we said before, they need to start listening to us for ideas.
What are you trying to say? We know what we're talking about?
No.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I never know what I'm talking about. Don't worry. When it comes to tomorrow, I will have no idea what I even said.
I know, right?
So, one of the big questions about season four as well is Pedro Pascal, especially since The Last of Us is getting a second season and is taking off. That's why the question is, could we still have this go the way of Bo-Katan? The other direction I'm curious, would you rather see it go, is with the armorer at the helm and her and Bo trying to find other clans of displaced Mandalorians to bring them all to one location.
Maybe, but she's got to lighten up, man.
Yeah, I like Emily Swallow a lot, and she was awesome to have on the show and stuff here, but I don't know if I want to see a whole show about the Mandalorian or about the armor.
Yeah.
She's a great character for your Mystic Sage. You go get some advice and then move on. Basically the Yoda character from Empire and from Jedi.
Okay. Then do we want to see...
She's Yoda for the Mandalorian universe.
And do we want to see one of the other foundlings that's in that clan that we've had some interaction with be have it switched to them and have them be the one to go or be a crew of them going to find all the other Mandalorians and bring them to Murdoch Valley?
Well, then
Bullock Valley. Sorry.
It becomes an entirely different show then, so it might as well just be an entirely different show.
Yeah, because when we first started this show, no one knew exactly what it was going to be. We thought it was going to be basically a bounty hunter or a bounty of the week type show.
Right.
Right.
And we find out that's because we didn't know about this little guy called Grogu.
Yeah.
It's basically become about Din Djarin and Grogu and their adventures.
Right.
So if you have anybody else take over it, it becomes a totally new show. So you give it a new name and do it as a spinoff.
Yeah.
Mandalorian, at the core, the show The Mandalorian is about the adventures of the Mandalorian and Grogu.
Exactly.
So I'm happy with season 3 being the end if they're moving on to doing movies and other things.
Yeah, right.
And I want to see these other stories in book or comic or even in TV series form in a different show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Continue this world. But the show The Mandalorian, I think it comes down to the show The Mandalorian is about the adventures of the Mandalorian and Grogu.
So Marvel completes the adaptation of season 3 as a comic series, and then do like IDW did with Smallville, with Buffy, and go
DC did Smallville.
DC did Smallville?
Yeah. The Smallville comics were all from DC.
Okay.
Do you think they're going to let someone else do one of their characters?
Yeah, really.
They're not Marvel. They're not Disney.
True.
That was back when Warner Brothers was still pulling the strings.
But do like the season 3.5 or 4.5, 5.5, whatever.
That would actually be an interesting idea. A short run comic, like 10 or 12 issue comic to bridge gaps in the different seasons.
Yeah.
They did that. Remember when they first started the Arrowverse, Flash and Arrow did that for a couple seasons. They actually had a Flash comic that was actually bridged the gap between like seasons 1 and 2. Then the next one bridged the gap between 2 and 3. They did it for Arrow also. Right. Just some adventures that happened over the summer while you were actually not seeing the show.
Right.
Well, speaking of adventures, Ahsoka season 2 is in development, and Filoni gives us the first sketch, and we are on one of the, I believe this is the Mortis statue.
Yeah, that's the same place that we saw, the last place we saw Balin's skull was standing on this finger.
And we have Ahsoka and Sabine standing on the finger.
It just sounds weird when you say it like that.
Which just jumped in my head. I can see it back at the wrist there where it's still part of the rock. You see a little sign that as they're walking up to the finger says, pull here. It sets off like in a volcano or something.
Force pull here. So,
you know how crazy that would be if there was something like that, and then like a stairway falls down out of the earth, and you go down into this cave, and it's like a temple. You had to pull the finger to get down to the temple. That's like some Indiana Jones stuff there.
That's just wrong.
No, yeah.
So I guess the question is, one, because I've seen this brought up, do we want to see Balin recast, or do we just want to have it left? Balin left as how we saw him at the end of the series, and that's it. At the end of the season, and that's it.
That's a tough one because, on the one hand, Ray Stevenson was so good at it in that character.
Yes.
But on the other hand, it seems like he still has more story.
Yeah.
So you kind of hate to see him just disappear.
I think we have to look at it as the character has got to be bigger than just the actor playing him. Ray Stevenson did a phenomenal job with that character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we've discussed this before. Like in other franchises, we've had recasts that were arguably as good as what they had originally when they had to. Harry Potter had to recast Dumbledore. James Bond has been like 75 different guys. So Doctor Who, we've had all these different guys playing Doctor Who.
Yeah, but Doctor Who, they get, there's the explanation of why.
Well, most Which of is them why only is that the they best. Just recast and keep going. Doctor Who just decided to make it part of the story because that wasn't any original story. If you actually go back and look for like the first couple seasons of Doctor Who, they were never planning on keeping it with someone else there.
Nope.
They just wanted to keep going, and Hartnell didn't want to keep going. So,
right.
But no, I think the character should be bigger than the actor playing him. I mean, yes, you have to acknowledge how awesome he was in that role. But if you want to keep going, you can just keep writing it.
Yeah, I think in this case you can do that.
That's where, we were saying with Solo. We had no problem recasting Harrison Ford and letting someone else take a shot at that character.
Yes, although that was a different case because it was a younger version. But
it's still...
I think in this case, I don't feel like his story is done. So I kind of, I'd like to see more of him. But on the other hand, if they recast, will it be as good? Will it be the same?
Right.
And will the new actor have enough courage to make it their own while still remembering what the character was?
You know what right. I mean?
How much research will they put into the character? Into the character of Balin.
Yeah.
I mean, will they do sort of like what Ehrenreich did with Harrison for Solo?
Right.
Or the other one I came through earlier with Harry Potter.
Correct.
If you look as they're going, when they switched actors there, it was still the same character there. He looked different, but he tried to play it similar to what the original actor was doing.
Right.
So it's like, you're going to have to, I don't want someone doing exactly what Ray Stevenson was doing because you usually tell if they're trying to be Ray Stevens playing this role.
Right.
So they got to learn, they got to watch what Ray Stevens did and said, okay, what parts of this performance were him and what parts of this were the character?
Right.
And you've got to kind of pull just what is the character.
Keep the essence of the character and Ray and what he brought to the character, but also develop it from there to your own as well.
And the nice thing is, since this is Dave Filoni's show, we know Dave Filoni is from everything we've ever heard, mostly it's from voice actors, but he's very good with actors.
Yeah, well.
Getting what he wants out of the actors.
Well, look what happened when we had, what's his name, who played the Emperor in the Clone Wars. Who, when he passed away, it went to Tim Curry before he had a stroke.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant then because the essence of the Emperor was still from the Clone Wars animated series was still kept.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I said. Dave Filoni knows how to work with actors and get the actors to give him the performance he needs.
Yeah.
Well, so I think we'd have any problem with recasting the character if needed.
I think as long as the actors takes the guidance of Filoni, the actor could easily continue the essence of Balin with that. So,
yeah. Well, I think almost any professional actor who knows really what they're doing listens to the director, and because the director's the boss. He's the guy that tells you what he wants.
Yeah.
He'll go into a project and say, well, this is what I see and this is what I'm going to do. You don't keep the role that long.
Right.
It's like, it's not your story. You're there to put the director's vision on the screen. I mean, a lot of directors will give you creative freedom and so you can do these things, but it's still ultimately the director's vision.
Right.
So we'll see.
Now,
we're not doing that for another year anyway.
Yeah. Now, Ken, I'm going to let you take this story because this is right up your alley.
Which one? Oh, I didn't even read all the way through this yet.
Well, but take it on the fly. Jump
a little bit on it.
Take it on the fly.
I know a little bit about this. Not a lot, but a little bit. But last week, they had everybody talks about the Golden Globes being the first ever, the first award show of the season. Well, really, the 75th Primetime Creative Arts Emmy Awards were last season. Now, a lot of people don't realize there's like four or five sets of Emmy Awards every year.
Yeah.
The big one is one everybody watches. It's known as the Emmys. But this one, I know... Weird Al Yankovic actually got an Emmy for his movie.
Have you all seen that movie?
Dude, that movie is awesome. I love it.
It's so great. It is typical.
It's cheesy in all the ways a Weird Al's supposed to be.
It is typical Weird Al.
I did not see it.
The trailers.
Oh, amazing.
I loved how the trailers made you believe, okay, this is going to be the Weird Al story along the lines of Bohemian Rhapsody, along the lines of some of the others that have come out.
Like Rocket Man and some of that.
Rocket Man, even even Elton John said that it's not a true bibliography film. It's
neither was Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, Bohemian is a lot closer than is a lot closer to the true story because one, Roger and Brian were very hands on with that film.
Yeah,
but Rocket Man is told through the eyes of Elton as he is coming out of recovery, out of rehab, as he's remembering things and how he wrote things down in rehab as he remembered it. That's the story of Rocket Man. That's the story he tells on Rocket Man.
But the best thing with this, this was the only way you could tell the Weird Al story because this was the Weird Al, the life story of Weird Al told through a parody.
Yes.
It is a parody of Weird Al's life.
So for those who don't know, Another One Rides the Bus came before Queen's Another One Bites the Dust.
Yes, according to this.
And Madonna almost ruined his career with their relationship.
Dude, you will be rolling the whole time when you're watching this thing.
When I first started watching this, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a biopic of Weird Al. And then when it started up and it became this spoof, and we know all of this was written by Weird Al, I'm like, okay, now I see where he's gone. And this is probably one of the greatest Weird Al projects ever outside of his book because he did a book, which we have, of What Will I Be When I Grow Up? Mm-hmm. And it's such a great book. But outside of that book, this is one of the greatest. To me, this blows away almost every album he did because of what he did. And it was perfect Weird Al.
Like I said, he did to his life story what he's done to everybody's songs all these years.
Yeah. And he's the first person to post what he did after the Emmys, after the primetime Emmys.
Yeah.
And that was take his Emmy to In-N-Out Burger. And after that, I then saw like four or five others post that they did the same thing, but it was all after Weird Al had done his.
Oh, if you watch Weird Al's thing for the last week, it's just a streaming. His Instagram is just a streaming thing of what he has done with his Emmy.
Yeah, which is fun too. It's an absolute blast what he does.
But that happened at the Emmys, but also at the Primetime Creative Arts Emmys, The Mandalorian was recognized. The stunt team from Mandalorian got outstanding stunt performance for season 3 of The Mandalorian. So the award actually went to Lateef Crowder, Paul Darnell, JJ Dashnaw, and Ryan Ryusaki for their work on specifically chapter 24, The Return, which was the season 3 finale.
Oh, yeah. Awesome,
because anytime the stunt teams get acknowledgement, that is phenomenal because their job is to blend in so you never know they were there.
Yeah, right.
You watch a movie that any stuntman is in and you can recognize that, oh, that's the stunt guy. They did it wrong. They messed up. The whole job is to make sure that that you never seamlessly never realize that the actor did not do everything you see on screen.
I mean, that finale, you knew majority of those people were stuntmen.
Well, yeah, you have to on a lot of this.
But they did not act like stuntmen. They looked like actors doing stunts.
Well,
which was great.
When I've worked with our stunt team and stuff here and there, the thing that we were told at the very beginning is if you want to be an actor who does, actors don't do stunts, but stuntmen act. You're going to get roles where you actually are doing stunts, but you're actually acting in the film also. Whereas an actual actor, 90% of the time, will not do stunts at all. So if you want to play and do the stunts and you want to act, be a stuntman. Because an actor who does stunts is very, very rare. You got to have a lot of pull in the production to do stunts.
Right.
But you got to know people that, or you got to be a producer or something else where you can actually say, no, I want to do this myself. Because usually they're going to say, no, that's why we got a stunt guy. And most actors out there, most of the actual named Hollywood actors and stuff will say the same thing. No. What's my character? I have a stunt guy to do that. And let the stunt guys actually do what they're trained to do.
Right.
Whereas every stuntman out there has played actual speaking roles in movies usually. And you didn't realize it was a stunt guy doing it. So these guys are a lot of times the unsung heroes of a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nice to see that they're starting to slowly, they're still, everybody's still pushing and trying, but there's still no Oscar for stunt performance.
There should be.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, there really should.
The Academy is the only people, I think, in the world that have not said that yet. Everybody else has recognized this.
I see, and that's where the Academy is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they can recognize costumers,
one of the places where they're wrong.
I mean, if they can recognize costumers, sound designers, sound editors,
mm-hmm.
DPs, all that, and the only
behind the camera can get them,
but you're not acknowledging your actors' safety net for their performances for some of these films, then no, recognize the safety net. Because a lot of times anymore, we recognize the actors for their roles, for what they did, which a lot of times is being done by the stunt performer.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm checking because the Golden Globes was this week, too. I don't remember if the Golden Globes have a stunt award yet or not.
I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
Not yet.
I know the SAG Awards do. Well, really, the two big ones are the Golden Globes and the Oscars. Wait, there's a third one, wasn't there? That's a big... No, the Emmys.
The Emmys, the Golden Globes, and the Oscars.
So.
And People's Choice.
Yeah.
And People...
That's a stunt award.
I think they do have a stunt award.
But the Golden Globes, actually, I don't have a lot of the behind the scenes. They have the best director, but the rest of the behind the scenes in general is not on the Golden Globes. It's mostly what you see on the screen as the, and what are the names of the movie. And the stunt guys are never going to be the name of the movie unless you actually have a movie that is specifically about stunts.
Right.
So.
Which there is a movie coming out about stunts.
Kinda. That looks funny. I mean, it's going to be a parody of the original, the way they've done a lot of the other 70s and 80s shows. But yeah. I think it's going to be fun.
It's a parody of the show, which the show was based on an actual stuntman and an actual movie that led to the show, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
I know it was based on the life of a stuntman that was then additional stories were fictionalized, but the character was based on an actual stuntman. Of an actual stuntman.
Yeah, I'm trying to look through the wiki, and there's nothing in the wiki about where the idea came from.
Mm. It's one of those mindless trivia things. Thomas.
So. But yeah, there's nothing in here about where the idea of it came from.
Yeah, I don't see anything. It could be, but.
But no, congratulations to the stunt guys from The Mandalorian. I think they deserve it, especially after watching the three seasons of this and the stuff that they've done on that show. I mean, a lot of it is done in the volume, but they still have to. There's a lot of physical stuff that has to still be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like people talk about how digital stuff is phasing out a lot of stunts, and basically all the digital is doing is making it safer for the stuntmen to do their job correctly. True. So far. I mean, you don't have to have guys falling from like 75, 80, 90 feet in the air. And actually, even before CG, they were already phasing out some of those ginormous, really, really deadly stunts.
Unless you're working on expensive. Some of those stunt guys love doing that stuff. So
yeah. Oh, I like high falls, but I've only done about 10, 15 feet.
Well, that's your problem.
Yeah, I don't climb up high enough to jump off of buildings.
Yeah.
I'm a stunt guy, not a daredevil. There's a difference. Daredevil's got horns.
Small ones.
I don't push.
Small ones.
So.
Yeah,
that's where we're at with that one.
Final story. The now canceled Star Wars movie from creators Benioff and Weiss from Game of Thrones was going to tell the story of the First Jedi, which the concept of the movie is still happening under a new director.
Yeah, isn't that what Mangold's movie is supposed to be?
Yes, but the question is, at this point in time, how much of the ideas of Benioff and Weiss are going to be adapted by Mangold?
We don't know.
And if
we probably never will, because we don't get the same level of access that we had when Lucas was doing the prequels.
Right. But if he does, will he give Benioff and Weiss some credit? I believe he has to.
Depends on how much of their ideas and materials he uses.
Yeah.
If it's just a general concept and the whole story and everything is his, then they may not have to have any credit. But then again, Lucasfilm may not have any problem giving them credit for this stuff. Don't know. Like I said, and we'll probably never know, because remember when the prequels were coming out, we were getting web series or web documentaries and stuff like years before the movies were coming. And Lucas was showing us, hey, look at this. This is cool. Check out. This is going to be in the movie, and that's going to be in the movie. And the thing is, when we saw the movie, we were still surprised.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to keep everything a secret to surprise people with what's going on.
Right. So, just to continue on, according to Variety, they said Benioff was quoted, "We wanted to do the first Jedi, basically how the Jedi Order came to be and why it became to be the first lightsaber." Then Weiss added, "And we were annoyed as hell when Rian Johnson called his movie The Last Jedi," in which the tone was almost a good-natured ribbing, as Johnson is friends with the creative duo and produces their series The Three-Body Problem on Netflix. He continues on, "He completely destroyed the obvious title from what we were working on." And of course, he can't call it The First Order, because that's the name of the group in the sequel trilogy. While it seems like a solid enough idea, ultimately, Benioff says Lucasfilm decided that they weren't interested in telling that tale. They ended up not wanting to do a first Jedi story, which, mind you, Dawn of the Jedi, which is coming out by Mangold, is not the telling of the first Jedi or at all. It's more of the Jedi Order's earliest days. So the Order's already been created. The first Jedi's already happened. We're taking the Dawn of the Jedi from after the Order has started and is starting to become the Jedi Order that we know. So it's not exactly an origin story like Benioff and Weiss would have been, but it's going to be close. So y'all's thoughts on that?
It's really not our story, but it's our story.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about that?
It's interesting, considering even Mangold has gone on the record saying how when he was asked about doing a Star Wars story, he just thought, where would I want to tell a story at? And this is generally where I'd want. It's interesting that he and these guys all had the similar ideas separately, which is absolutely possible.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would think there's only so much you could do or go for a beginnings tale.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the difference is we're not talking about the first Jedi, but we're talking about the Dawn of the Order.
Yeah.
Well, as I've said before, there was a Dark Horse comic book that dealt with the origin of where the Jedi came from that was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing.
Tell you what I wouldn't mind seeing either. It's John Joshua Miller's Knight Errant adapted into a movie or a series.
I don't remember if I read that. I think I read that one at one point.
I would love to see that made canon and adapted into a series, considering all that takes place before the era of the films. So, other than that, got any final thoughts, guys?
Everything we've talked about tonight, I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because until it actually hits the big screen or small screen, you never know. We've seen a lot of stuff promised from Lucasfilm that never went anywhere.
True. This is true.
But then again, that's corporate filmmaking.
True.
Also true.
That's one of the major differences, like when Lucas had it, that if he said he was going to do something, it usually got done. But then again, he was the only one that could say yes or no to it. He didn't have to answer to anybody else.
Right. Derek?
The only thing I have left to say is check out my podcast, Keepers of the Fringe. We just put out our 300th episode.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I've got nothing else. So, J7, if you would, please.
Gentlemen, sounds like there's only one thing left to be said.
Give the evacuation code signal.
All right, cut the chatter.
Jet, I can hold it.
Pull out!
No, I'm all right.
I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit.
I've lost R2.
Oh, my God.